First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get you started out with the headlines you need to know. We've been telling you about the All-In Challenge. Well, big number came in yesterday, bidding for the New England Patriots owner Bob Kraft's Super Bowl. I just called him Bob, like we're buddies. Robert Kraft's Super Bowl 51 championship ring closed at $1.025 million Thursday night, which is also crazy. It makes it one of the most expensive items in the All-In Challenge, which aims to be the largest virtual fundraiser in history. Its mission, of course, is to feed those in need. Incredible moment there to get over $1 million for the Super Bowl ring for the Patriots. So some lucky fan out there is going to flaunt that thing, and rightfully so. So speaking of money, money's getting contentious in the NFL in a bad way. For Jamal Adams and the Jets, they've reached a contract impasse when it comes to contract extension talks. Remember that now that he's finished 3 years in the league, Jamal Adams is eligible for a new deal. But the Jets don't seem to be in any big rush to do anything with it, as they still own his rights for two more years. He wants a new deal, and he wants that new deal right now. He's set to make $3.5 million this year. There are already rumors out there that the Jets are at least looking at trade possibilities. We'll see what it means moving forward. I'll use this as your reminder that Jamal Adams with the Jets, are 16-32, but I'm not going to hear any of you say that because Jamal Adams is 16-32 in his tenure with the Jets, he can't play. Just a reminder, we hold quarterbacks to different standards than everybody else. Lastly, we end the headlines with a sad note. Longtime Jazz coach Jerry Sloan has passed away today at the age of 78. The Jazz announced Sloan died from complications from Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia, which he had revealed diagnosis for back in April of 2016. The Jazz statement says Jerry Sloan will always be synonymous with the Utah Jazz. He will forever be a part of the Utah Jazz organization, and we join his family, friends, and fans in mourning his loss. That's a part of the statement there. Absolutely a sad day for Jazz fans, and most importantly, for the Sloan family. Those are your headlines. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's have a little fun. We're going to get some golf coming up this weekend, and not shockingly, not a lot of golf talk going on today. We'll be talking about it on Monday, but over the course of the weekend, I'm excited. We get the rematch between Phil and Tiger, but this time we get to add a couple of people in, as we got Peyton versus Tom, and so now you've got these duos coming in, and it had us wondering as we were putting the show together, if you could compete in one of these, and you get to round out your foursome, who you got? So you're golfing, you need to choose one golfer to be with you, because I don't want your golf team to suck, okay? So you need one golfer to be with you. Then you need one other athlete and one celebrity. You can do this however you want to do. There's some strategy to it. See, we've already been debating it on our own. I don't know that I care about winning. I want the most fun. Now, anybody that has seen the Go Look and Win Go golf trips in the past, I'm more about, you know, fashion. I'm going to wear my knickers, and I'm going to be the life of the party, really. But it's going to be bad golf. Like, I can't play. So I'm not really concerned about winning, and I want a pro that's going to be pretty lax about it too, but I want to make sure that the other athlete and the celebrity, most importantly, I want to make sure that they're attainable enough that I get digits at the end of it, right? Like, the goal for me is to have long-term relationships out of this so that I can be texting buddies with this athlete and this celebrity. So that's the way it's going to work out. One pro golfer, one other athlete, one celebrity, and you. Who's your foursome going to be? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. That's how you get in on the fun. In the meantime, let's start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks while saving up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan, up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Speaking of no contract, the Straight Talk comes in the form of no contract. I just said it in the headlines. It's funny to me that Jamal Adams wants a new deal, and he wants it now. And there's rumors out there that the Jets are starting their trade conversation at, a first and a third round pick, and we'll see where it goes from there. How many of you guys have gone to Twitter or gone to your buddies and said, oh my God, yes, we got to make that trade. We got to get that deal done right now, knowing that it also means you're going to have to give Jamal Adams mega money, which is fine. Although I should point out the Jets are 16-32 during Jamal Adams' time. That doesn't mean he's not worth a lot of money. It just means that Jamal Adams hasn't directly resulted in wins. What do you know? That's okay when you're a safety, but apparently that's not okay when you're a quarterback. Even though it's a team sport, we hold the quarterback to one standard. How many games have they won? So now you have the Cowboys conversation around Dak going on, and that continues to get louder and louder as there are contract rumors out there saying that Dak is asking for upwards of $45 million in the last year of his contract. People are up in arms about it. What does it all mean? Stephen A. and Max broke it down today on First Take.
I imagine that Dak's agent is telling him right now, oh, we got him, here it comes. Here comes the dough. Because what side is going to leak this information? Is this in Dak's best interest to leak this information? The answer is no. So there's only one other side to leak this. And if that's the case, if the Dallas Cowboys, someone there thought it would be a good idea to whisper something to media, if that's the case, about some outrageous contract demands, which do not seem likely to be true to me, what that suggests is they're desperate in a negotiation, that they know they're going to have to pay, to give on certain points, and they want to exert public pressure on Dak to say, oh, okay, listen, let me not appear greedy. It's ham-handed. And it reminds me, this is what I've been saying all along, Stephen A., the Cowboys cave on the details. Jerry Jones has said that every one of his best deals he, quote-unquote, overpaid for in his career as a businessman. Jerry Jones does not make his money on the margins. He makes his money with a big imagination. That's how he did. He's going to buy the Dallas Cowboys, right? He's going to make a 10,000-foot screen in the middle. That's Jerry Jones. So Stephen Jones goes out, we're not going to reset with the market with Ezekiel Elliott. The next week, they do it. We're not going to pay this guy. They pay him. They're about to cave on key points for Dak in the negotiation, it seems to me, and they're just kind of throwing stuff against the wall, including trying to exert some public pressure to make him think, I don't want to appear greedy, particularly now. That's how I would read these tea leaves.
Well, I don't blame you for reading it that way, because clearly if there's any truth to that report, then Dak Prescott looks insane to turn down that kind of money. But again, what I would highlight is the fact that we still haven't learned the guaranteed dollars. I'm telling you, Max, I'd give anything to be a beat writer in this day and age. Because back in the day, before the advent of social media and beyond, you had to get this information. I mean, we've been talking about Dak Prescott's contract for almost a year, okay? And we still have not heard the amount of guaranteed dollars that he has been offered. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that we still are waiting to hear, what did you guarantee him? Why? Because we know Jared Goff was guaranteed $110 million. We know that Carson Wentz was, I keep forgetting whether it's 107 or 109, okay? We know these things. We know that Russell Wilson got the $35 million. We know that Jimmy Garoppolo got $72.5 million of his $137.5 guaranteed. We know these things, but we're still looking and waiting to hear what the guaranteed portion of Dak Prescott's offer is. And so as a result, yeah, it's unbelievable. So, see, as a result, we're sitting here, and we're all forced to is speculate. We don't know who the bad guy is. Because guess what? If you're Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, certainly you sound like the good guy when Carson Wentz has incentives in his contract that could pump his money up to $153 million, but Dak Prescott had a $175 million offer on the table. Sure, it makes the Dallas Cowboys look good. But if you heard that only 80 of it was guaranteed compared to Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, now we got a problem, okay? Now the Cowboys look bad. We don't know. And so to me, here's the interesting element of it all, Max. How the hell does neither side want to reveal that information? I can understand one side wanting to hide it, but both sides refuse to tell anybody what the guaranteed offer is. Does that make sense to you?
No, I think in fact, it does from this point of view. You were talking yesterday about Major League Baseball players, whatever their legitimate arguments are, if they, particularly nowadays, but even before the pandemic, if the players are the one as seen as turning down hundreds of millions of dollars, they're painted as greedy in the press, and people will react to them that way in spite of the fact that the owners could be making billions. So I think from that point of view, Dak's side may just wisely say, we're not talking. Mum is the word. It doesn't help us to say anything. But does it help the Cowboys to say something? Yeah, I think it does. To paint Dak as greedy, and Stephen A., you hit the nail on the head. We've never heard even reporting of the guarantee. You could easily say, we offered him $175 million. What's guaranteed? 60.
But Max, that's where I'm going. Both sides won't tell us. Now, that's an aberration. I mean, even with Major League Baseball, we're hearing about what they're arguing and haggling over, but we've got most of the details. So, in other words, you pick a side. You can see the owner's point of view to some degree. You can see the player's point of view to more of a degree because they've got more to lose because they don't have $1 billion to lean on in the event that no games take place. I get it. But at least you have a thorough understanding to some degree anyway of what's transpiring. We don't know what the hell is going on with Dak Prescott.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. And I mean, Stephen A is absolutely right. We don't know what's going on. And at this point, we're not going to know until likely closer to July. We've laughed on this show enough that you guys have heard it. We've laughed about the fact that this conversation isn't going anywhere and it won't go anywhere until the contract is signed. I still believe that a contract will get done. But even when you see some of the numbers that are out there being rumored about, I still don't have a problem with it. I mean, the way that the value escalates so much at the quarterback position, what we're looking at today is absurd numbers for 5 years from now. May very well be par for the course, especially after you start to factor in the quarterbacks that are in line to get paid. I mean, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are going to change the entire spectrum of what quarterbacks get paid. And guess what? They're still going to win a bunch of football games. This is my time to remind you, as I think I will do weekly moving forward, that there are no metrics that show that you can't go to a Super Bowl if you have a quarterback that you've paid. That's just a fallacy based on old world thinking. So just a reminder, get out there, pay your guy, and don't put yourself in a situation where the Cowboys, who yesterday we acknowledged incredibly talented roster that even through all of the talent they have still is going to get through the gauntlet known as the NFC. I don't feel nearly as good about that gauntlet if I've got Andy Dalton behind center. So that's all I'm saying. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. We're taking your take in honor of this weekend's golf matchup with some celebrity involvement. We're asking you guys to round out your foursome. You get you. You're going to play with one pro golfer, one other athlete, and one celebrity. And let me tell you, we're still arguing about this. We'll reveal, I'll have everybody on the show that works here reveal who ours are going to be before the end of the show, because I'm flipping back and forth. I can't figure it out, but we're taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Chris in Virginia, who you rounding out your foursome with?
All right. So for my professional, I'm like you. I want to have some fun. I want to win too because I'm too competitive, but I got John Daly. Then for my celebrity, I'm going to go ahead and go with Trey Wingo. And for my athlete, I'm going to get Tony Romo.
Oh, man, you're trying to win this thing. Chris is coming for it because you're getting Romo, who's going to be a better golfer than everybody, and Trey. But let me just tell you something. I'll never forget being at the Golden Wingo golf outing. And Trey, if you're listening right now, I love you, buddy. But the very first shot, he took off the tee, he just threw another one down and said, breakfast ball, right? I mean, so I'm just saying, you got to watch Trey. Everybody's going to have to keep a little side eye on Wingo. He's by far the biggest golfer, but I don't know. I don't know. We haven't seen the numbers come through. Bryson, Texas, how are you filling out your foursome?
Hey, yeah, so I got Vince Wilfork, Mark Wahlberg, and Ricky Fowler.
Okay, so that is the most eclectic group. So why Wolfork first?
Man, so did you see the HBO Hard Knocks episode where Vince Wilfork walks out in a pair of overalls?
No, that's a good call. So you're getting a little personality there. Why Marky Mark?
Man, Mark Wahlberg seems like a disciplined guy, somebody I may could learn some things from. Also seems like a decent golfer, and I think the dynamic of Wahlberg with Vince Wilfork and myself, this sounds like a blast.
Look, I don't disagree with you, actually. Mark Wahlberg's a sneaky pick on that one because he's a funny dude, right? Like, and again, see, I'm using this whole thing to try and grow my network, right? So Wahlberg's a good, like, he's in the middle of all of it. Everybody loves Mark. So, you know, I'm in for a little bit of that. Tristan in Pittsburgh, how you rounding out your foursome?
Happy Friday, Jason. So my four are John Daly, Dennis Rodman, and Stu Gatz from The Levitard Show. That would be a glorious train wreck of a round of golf, but I am here for it.
Oh, my God. Look, the fact is y'all would get kicked off the course in about three holes, and it would be perfect. Stu Gatz would spend the entire time just yelling at everybody from a distance. Rodman may or may not show up, but when he does, it would be hysterical. Like, Tristan, that is well done by you, man. Like, that is a good, good group. We're getting a lot of tweets, and I'm a little bit curious why everybody's so infatuated with Justin Timberlake. A lot of these groups include Justin Timberlake. So, I think that's sneaky. There's got to be some reason everybody wants to be hanging out with Justin Timberlake. Also, Marv with a sneaky tweet here. He goes with Anna Kournikova, Rihanna, and Nancy Lopez. So Marv is he's obviously looking for the opportunity to try and make a love match. Like that's got to be his mindset. Eric in North Carolina, tell us how you're rounding out your foursome.
My pro golfer's got to be Phil Mickelson because he's a lefty and I'm a lefty. So maybe I could mirror him. Maybe he could give me some pointers. If we're playing captain's choice, I got to go with Charles Barkley for my athlete because he would definitely show me what not to do, but it would have to be a barrel of laughs just watching him tee off.
You'd have to at least bring dollar bills, though, because Barkley's not going to play for nothing. Like, there's going to be some action, side action. Whatever action makes you uncomfortable is what I feel like Barkley's going to go with. There's going to be some level of action. I can keep going back to mine, you know, and there's a spot for the pro golfer. I think I'm going to go Tiger because, you know, I just want to try and grill him the entire time on interesting stories from life. But, and then the future business opportunities for that, I like a lot. I'm obviously going to go with John Gruden as the athlete. I mean, come on, he's a coach, so that's close enough. But the celebrity one, I'm really torn on. I was convinced it was going to be Ryan Reynolds. Now I've had a bunch of you guys tweeting Bill Murray, and that seems to be really smart. You know, I'm a little bit torn on that one moving forward. Jesse in Cincinnati, round out your foursome for me.
Hey, man, we're just having fun. We're not trying to win. Give me Sergio. Give me Jim Carrey. And my athlete just got stolen. I said Barkley about 20 minutes ago, but it just looks like fun to me.
Look, that's not a bad idea. Like, you are going to have a blast on that entire foursome. It's going to be really good. I mean, so there's different ways we're taking this. Some of you guys are taking it for, you know, the opportunity to meet cool people. Some of you guys are taking it to actually win. So I appreciate that. I respect that. Let's go to Robert in Ohio. Robert, round out your foursome for us.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, my pro is going to be Tiger Woods. And my athlete's going to be MJ, and then I'm going with George Lopez.
George Lopez, that's a good call on that one, too. I mean, a lot of you guys for the celebrity are taking somebody funny. By the way, on Twitter, getting more Bill Murray love, a lot of Bill Murray love. But Roy says Bill Murray, Shaq, and John Daly, that's a good one. Jordan Spieth, Bo Jackson, and Greg Marshall is Billy Ward's call on that. Bo's not a bad idea. See, I went Gruden because I figure if I can become besties with John Gruden during the course of the round of golf, that's going to give me free access to all things Raiders for the next, what, like he's got 7-8 years left on this deal? That gives me free access to my favorite football team. So that's my business side of it. Bo Jackson, also a strong one because I think I'd get the same level of access. And I'll tell you, like, true story, my first, the first weekend that we were out on College Game Day, Bo Jackson was the celebrity picker last year. And it was funny. I was at the hotel and he was outside and I thought, man, I've always wanted to meet Bo Jackson, but it was my first weekend out with Game Day. And I just didn't think it was a good look to be the new guy on Game Day out there, you know, totally getting up in Bo Jackson's grill and trying to get a selfie. So, you know, maybe I could make up for that. It's interesting the number of different combinations we're getting here. Thomas says Jack Nicklaus, Joe Theismann, Mark Wahlberg. A lot of action from Mark Wahlberg and a surprising amount of action for Stu Gatz. Ron in Michigan, round out your foursome. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm definitely going for the fun. I want John Daly. He's going to have the drinks covered. I got Charles Barkley, who's going to be a lot of fun to golf with. And then for my ace in the hole, I'm bringing in Jennifer Aniston. She's gorgeous, and I'm better looking than those other two fools, so maybe I got a shot.
That strategy, Ron. I mean, I like that. I like the fact that not only did you bring in Jennifer Aniston, but then you explained why you would be the best looking guy in the group. Although, it should be noted, I think the other guys have a much better bank account. So I don't know how much that plays in. We, you know, I'm not, Jen and I aren't buddies, so I can't tell you. David in Virginia Beach, round out your foursome for me.
Hey, Jason. So Bruce Koepka is my golfer. My athlete would be Shaquille O'Neal. And my celebrity would be Chris Pratt.
Why'd you go with Chris Pratt?
I just think he is absolutely hilarious. I love him as Andy Dwyer in Parks and Rec.
Look, that's a good call on that. Chris Pratt made me laugh. Like, that's a really smart one. Also, Zach on Twitter came in and said John Daly, Michael Jordan, Will Ferrell. Oh, I mean, you guys are bringing it. Look, we were going to talk about other stuff, but everybody's fired up about it. So we'll let you get in. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast to get you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. You guys can keep chiming in. How will you round out your foursome? You get to pick one pro golfer. You get to pick one athlete, and then you get to pick one celebrity. And we're doing that, obviously, in honor of this weekend's matchup where we'll get Mickelson and Tiger and Brady and Peyton all going at it with each other. I hope that it's mic'd up in a way that we get a ton of trash talking. I hope the guys are really open with each other. I think it's going to be an incredible, fun watch, and it really has us fired up for this. So you guys can keep your take coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to keep taking more of your take. We'll keep breaking it down. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We're asking you to round out your foursome in honor of this weekend's golf matchup. We're getting Phil and Tiger and Tom and Peyton. All right, you get to round out your foursome. One pro golfer, one other athlete, and one celebrity. That's how you do it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Creativity's been off the chains today. It's been absolutely incredible. Also, you can tweet me at Jason Fitz. Don't forget, if you're missing basketball, you can tune in Sunday night for an NBA Classic. Game 6 of the 2016 NBA Finals between the Warriors and Cavaliers, presented by the Home Depot. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Speaking of basketball, there was sad news today for the NBA community as former Utah Jazz head coach and NBA legend Jerry Sloan passed at the age of 78. And that's something that Jalen Rose spoke to Stephen A. about today on First Take.
This is a tough day for the NBA family, and I want to send prayers and condolences out to his family, to all of the Utah Jazz supporters. As somebody that's a part of the NBA family and competed so many years against Jerry Sloan's teams, for anybody that know about Jerry Sloan, the player, they mirrored the exact man out on the floor. Because as a player, he was really tough. He was feisty. He was authentic as he talked to the media, as he dealt with his teams. His teams were so very disciplined. The wings ran hard all of the time. The bigs constantly ran from the front of the rim to the front of the rim every single time. They didn't take shortcuts. They didn't really switch on screens. You could nail one of their guys on the screen. He expects that guy to recover and fight through because that was the type of person and the type of player that he was. And the Jazz get overlooked a lot in the history of the game. They had two of the greatest players of all time in Karl Malone and John Stockton. But we got to make sure that we acknowledge Jerry Sloan is one of the greatest coaches of all time, and he nurtured that greatness time and time again.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. Now, sometimes as you're scrolling through Twitter, you find out that people that you respect the heck out of have perspective on something you've had no idea. And I'll admit that today was one of those days. Is I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw the reaction to this from our great Ian Fitzsimmons, and we immediately asked Ian to come on. First and foremost, Ian, I didn't know you covered the Jazz. I'll admit my ignorance. I didn't know that you covered the Jazz and had the opportunity to cover Jerry Sloan. So, you know, first, thanks for coming on. I hope you and yours are safe. But when you see this happen and in the passing of Jerry Sloan, having covered him, what stood out to you as the first thought in your mind?
The lessons he taught me, Fitz. I was out there for 2 years, from 04 to 06, and the 04 season was the only losing season he ever had as a head coach of the Utah Jazz. It was a 26 win season. And at the end of it, I asked him, what did you learn about, this year? And he goes that the game of basketball a lot of times mirrors the game of life. And I went, what do you mean? He goes, well, sports in general. And then someone asked him, I can't remember who the reporter was. He said, he's got that John Deere hat on, and I mean, he's got, you know, that grizzled look. And he said, was this the toughest year you've ever had? He goes, see, that's what I'm talking about. Last year was the toughest year I ever had. And she said, why? He goes, well, I lost my wife. And he goes, and if you think any game compares anywhere close to something like that, then you're living in some foreign world. I don't know how only winning 26 games could ever be worse than having a year like I had last year. And he said, that's the game of life. It's so much more important than any sport. And that's Jerry Sloan, man. He hated to lose a coin toss. He was beyond a fierce competitor. I mean, he was suspended a couple times for pushing referees. I mean, he was that fiery guard you saw in a Bulls uni. That was the head coach of the Utah Jazz, but he never, ever, ever let the game get bigger than the game of life. And that's one thing I learned from him.
I think it's interesting that entire Utah Jazz era of great teams that he was in charge of for so many years. is somewhat forgotten because of Michael Jordan and the Bulls effect. So how should we look back on those great Jazz teams?
Man, you just say Stockton and Malone, and any sports fan knows exactly what you're talking about. That's one of the great duos that the NBA has had. And if it wasn't for some dude named Jordan, right, they're probably winning a couple titles. That they were that good. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like so many other great teams in the 90s. You know, you just didn't have that other guy. And I remember talking about that also. That's one thing he taught me about the game of basketball. After that 26-win season in 04, you know, they bounced back the next year. I think won 41 games. They were right at 500 or 42 games. And then a couple years later, they're in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, that's the kind of coach he was. I think they were a 51-win team in 06-07. But I asked him, what's it take to get back to that level? And he said, look, people think that the game of basketball is just some magical thing and everyone has to come up with new tricks and this and that, you know. And he goes, look, it's pretty simple. You need two greats of good and then everybody else. I went, what? He goes, you need two damn great players, a good player, and fill out the rest of your roster and then go play ball. And if you got two greats of good and everybody else, then you're going to have a pretty darn good season, and you're going to have one heck of a team. He goes, now there's only a handful of examples that you can go, you know, are an exception to that rule. But when you really think about it, Fitz, think about that. Of all the teams that are title teams, most of them, to Coach Sloan's, I mean, he drilled it. Most of them have two great players, a good player, like Stockton, Malone, Hornacek, right? And then everybody else. And that's one I'll never forget that. And he was dead serious. He didn't crack a smile. He wasn't laughing about it. He's like, look, man, it ain't that difficult. You need two greats of good and everybody else.
It's funny because that's still true. I mean, that's
absolutely.
That's staggering. Okay, so do you have a story that really stands out as a favorite story of Coach Sloan?
Man, there's so many. Going to the game of life, he once told me, never be too proud and stubborn to admit when you're wrong. And this was a few years ago. This was probably 07, 08, somewhere in there, where I'm doing a weekend show here on ESPN Radio, and he told me this on air. And I said, what's an example of where you may have been too proud and too stubborn to admit you were wrong? He said, Darren Williams. And I went, elaborate. And he said, probably should have played him more as a rookie, but I hate rookies. But he's one heck of a basketball player. And you go back to that year in 05, I probably should have played him more. I was wrong. I was completely wrong the way I handled him. I should have thrown him to the wolves. And that's another life lesson, man. I let that one sink in. Never be too proud and stubborn to admit when you're wrong. And I'll never forget also when Kobe Bryant went for 81, he was on our pregame show with Hot Rod Hundley and the late, great Hot Rod Hundley. And I asked him about Kobe going for 81, and I said, "What? Go back to your playing days." He goes, stop. With Norm Van Leer and I, anybody started to sniff 30, you were going to bleed. And I started laughing, and he didn't, again, Fitz, did not crack a smile. He goes, I'm not kidding. You started creeping up on 30. You drove a lane on us. You were going to bleed. 81, I can't even fathom 81. I'd probably retire. That's what kind of a defensive player Jerry Sloan was, man. I mean, he's one of the greats, without a doubt. I mean, from the game of basketball to the game of life, he taught a lot of people a lot of lessons.
We're talking to Ian Fitzsimmons. You can obviously listen to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio tonight and Monday through Friday, always getting you caught up at the end of the night. And so, look, there's no easy transition here, but I got to get your thought on the question of the day because you're such an interesting person. You're going to have an interesting answer to this. I know this, okay? We decided today as we were prepping the show, we were going to have a little fun with the audience today, and we were going to ask them to complete their foursome in golf in honor of this weekend's event. So we're starting with you. And then you have to add a pro golfer, a celebrity, and then just any other person in the athletics world, any other athlete. So you got a pro golfer, any athlete, and a celebrity. Who's rounding out your foursome?
My boy Ryan Palmer, because it'll be a blast. And he goes harder than the average bear. Not a household name by any stretch, but he's, well, I think, a 5-6-time winner on tour. He's a top 10 finish in the Masters, and he's a good friend of mine. Lives in Fort Worth. So to me, when you play golf, Jason, it's not about how you play. It's, you know, or it's not, you just drink more beers and balls you lose in the woods and the water and fellowship. So I'm going with Rhino, athlete, Charles Barkley, another good friend, and we know it's going to be a damn good time. And then celebrity, I'm going to go with Bill Clinton because I want to hear some stories.
Look, I'm just saying.
I just ripped that off the top of my head, dude. And that last one might be the best one of that foursome.
Just let me drive the cart for y'all. Like, look, I'll drive the cart. It won't be pretty. It won't be pretty.
Can you imagine the stories, right? We may have to put Chuck and President Clinton in separate carts because the stories between those two alone would be worth the eavesdrop.
Can we just acknowledge, like, I won't say who, I won't rat anybody out here, but there are certain country music tours that for years have had that your cell phone's collected before you're allowed backstage. Like, there's certain tours and music that do that.
Oh, baby.
You would have to do that with this cart. Like, there'd have to be a, like, everybody's padded down, all the phones
cheater
are
rules,
gone.
Right?
I mean, this is just straight, you know, straight anonymity through all of it. You are the best. Check out Freddie Fitzsimmons, baby. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to 9 to midnight Eastern time. As always, I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for hopping on. Thanks for giving us the great stories and perspective on a legend.
Yeah, come on, bro. Anytime for you, man. Be well.
That's just great stuff from Ian. Don't forget, Freddie and Fitzsimmons, they're not only great human beings, but they do a great show every single night. They get you wrapped up on everything that's going on. You got to check it out. All right, coming up, we're going to take more of your take. You heard his foursome. That's how he's rounding it out. How would you round out your foursome? One pro golfer, one other athlete, one celebrity. We'll get more of your take coming next. 888-SAY-ESPN+. If Antonio Brown went to the Seahawks, would that put them over the top as a Super Bowl contender? First Take had a lot to say about that. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour of the show today, go check it out. It's particularly funny today. And the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet? We're going to keep getting your take. This is what's been making it great so far today. You get to round out your foursome in honor of this weekend's golf event. You get to round out your foursome. You're adding one pro golfer, one athlete, and one celebrity to it. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in to give your take. In the meantime, before we get to that, should franchise quarterbacks want to take a chance on Antonio Brown? And we're going to keep talking about AB and what it means moving forward, but there's been some chatter that the Seahawks could look at AB. The question is, if they did that, what would it mean to their Super Bowl chances? This is what Stephen A. said today.
If the Seattle Seahawks get their hands on Antonio Brown, there is no reason to believe, there is no reason to deny that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Seattle Seahawks are going to be the favorites to be in the Super Bowl. Period. DK Metcalf,
yep.
Tyler Lockett, with Russell Wilson throwing a football, with Carson in the backfield, and these boys. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at this roster right now. You got Carson. You got Rashad Penny. I'm just looking at their running game, and it was an elite running game when them brothers was on the squad last year before Carson went down. We know what Russell Wilson can bring to the table, and we understand that Lockett and DK Metcalf can flat out ball. You add Antonio Brown to that equation, and remember, they just acquired Greg Olsen from Carolina. I mean, my Lord, you're talking about an elite offensive crew. Okay, that definitely, as far as I'm concerned, I would favor them over the San Francisco 49ers to come out of the NFC.
Yep,
they'd win the NFC West, as far as I'm concerned. They'd win the conference.
On the defense,
I think it would be them against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's how elite Antonio Brown is as a player. Here's what I will say, Max. You cannot put Antonio Brown on a team with a young quarterback. Period. A young quarterback or a quarterback that has less than star status, Antonio Brown does not work because you can't trust that his behavior won't affect the locker room. You got to take worst case. I'm not accusing Antonio Brown of anything. I'm simply saying you have to take history into consideration and surmise or project that he might be problematic in the locker room. Because you take that position, you can't put him with a young quarterback and you can't put him with somebody that's less than elite. He can only go someplace where clearly the quarterback is the leader. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you fly the wrong way, that quarterback has the power to get rid of you. That would be Tom Brady. That would be Drew Brees. That would be Patrick Mahomes at this stage of point in time, even though he's young. That would be guys like that. That's where you got to go.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. All this conversation about AB coming back presumes that he could come back and stay back, and I'm not willing to make that presumption. Hopefully the main priority for Antonio Brown is that he get to a spot where he is mentally healthy and well and feels good about where life is. That's far more important than anything he will or won't do on a football field. We're taking your thoughts. Round out your foursome. One pro golfer, one other athlete, one celebrity. That's your take. Al in Pennsylvania. I always love it when Al calls. Round out your foursome for me, my friend. What do you got?
Hey, Jason. Early happy Memorial Day to you.
And likewise, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to be a little Hispanic today. with my call, even though I'm not Hispanic. I'm going to pretend I'm a little Hispanic today. For as long as I've been following golf and everything, I don't think anybody had more fun on the golf course than Lee Trevino. He would be my golfer. Mm. And my athlete would be another little old-timer, Jimmy Plunkett. I would love to talk old Raider football with Jimmy Plunkett.
That's amazing.
And then my celebrity, I think it's somebody that could bring a little something to the golf course that would make golf even more fun than it is, and that would be Cheech Marin. I would love Cheech Marin on a golf course for my celebrity.
Look, Al, considering that partying with Willie Nelson's on my life list of things I want to do, I like the Cheech addition to it. I mean, he would definitely bring a little something to the golf course, for sure. I love it. That's a fun foursome to put together. Neil in Virginia, what do you got?
Hey, Jason. So, originally for my pro golfer, I was going to go with Boom Boom Freddie Couples, but after thinking about it, I'm going to have to go with the Shark, Greg Norman. We're going to be in this to, one, have a good time, get some good stories, two, be competitive, and three, like you said, make a lot of good connections. So, celebrity, we're going to go with Kenny G. After hearing him on the Levitard show, he is hilarious and a damn good golfer. And then for a celebrity, we're going with MJ, Michael Jordan. Good golfer, good connections, and all kinds of fun.
Oh, look, that's actually a really smart one. Plus, don't forget, Greg Norman, I think he still owns a winery, right? Like, he's going to bring a ton of nice wine. So, like, you got a little added extra right there. The Kenny G one, a little bit surprising. We haven't seen anything like that. And then let's go to Deborah in Florida. Deborah, what do you got? What's your foursome?
Wow, he's the one of mine. I got my pro golfer is Tiger Woods. My athlete is Steph Curry. And my celebrity is Kenny G. I heard him one day in Levitard. But other than that, I get great music.
Okay, now that, no, look, Kenny G is incredibly talented. That a lot of Kenny G love. I'm shook, but again, as a Levitard fan and a friend of Stu Gatz, I get it. 1,000% up and down the board. We know where that's coming from. Kenny G, an interesting one. Of all the, like, jam artists, though, to have there, like, if Kenny G's playing in the golf cart with you, is there a karaoke track he's playing with? Like, I'm wondering how he's giving us the great music, or is he just sort of playing as we go and there's no backup track? I don't know, but, I do like the idea of a jam session. We'll keep taking your take. Plus, coming up, how would you feel if the NBA playoffs were set in two host cities? First Take reacted to that. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We'll have all that coming next.